We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Good morning, church. Good morning, everyone. I know we've got our masks on, but you know, we can still say good morning. Good morning, everybody. Hey, that sounds good. And welcome to everybody joining us online as well. It's a pleasure and an honor to be able to share the word of the Lord with you today. And also, I'd like to thank the eldership of the church for giving me this opportunity just to share the word of the Lord with you today. You know, right now we're now online. You know, so you know, you know, it's the stakes are even higher now because you know it's not just what you're hearing; it's across the world that this word gets shared. Okay. So today we are continuing on with the series that we are currently in on. The theme of open doors. So currently at the moment, we are dealing with the scripture that we've got in Revelation 3:8, and it reads, "I know your deeds. I see you have placed before us an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." So we know that in this season that God is looking to open doors for our lives. One of the areas that we've been told that, you know, God is looking to open doors for us is in this area of opportunities. And oh my goodness, when I heard this, that, you know, God is looking to open doors of opportunities for us, you know, it's exciting. It's so exciting because opportunities, you know, they speak of, you know, going up a next level. You know, they talk about, you know, us getting to a place we've never been before, you know, newer heights. It's this whole idea of elevation from where we are from to a new level on the back of this opportunity that may have come our way, okay? So often, you know, when we then talk about opportunities, we're always thinking about, you know, what do I have to gain? You know, how exactly will it come to pass? You know, like, God, what opportunity are you opening up to me? And then that's when, you know, the Lord got me thinking to say, you know what, okay, these opportunities are coming, but in what form are they coming in? How do they come, you right? And then that's where we're getting the title of today's message. Like, what route does God, you know, open these opportunities to us? And the title of the message is The Moving Door of Opportunity. The Moving Door of Opportunity. So this particular door opportunity, it's a bit different because when we think of a door, we are thinking of a, you know, a solid thing whereby you just walk through and, you know, it stays pretty stationary. If it's open, it's open. That's it. But this particular door that I'm talking about is it can move. It can change the way that it feels. It can become unavailable or available. It depending on who is in front of it, it can decide whether to open or to close. And this particular door of opportunity that I'm talking about is people. The reason why we're looking at this door of opportunity is because at some stage, when you mention opportunity or an open door of opportunity, at some point there will be the inclusion of people at some point. It may be the person that God may be using to open an opportunity for you, or within the opportunity in itself, there may be people that God has placed there. So we can't talk about opportunity, then also talk about the people that would be involved, okay? So God has got this way of intertwining our lives. You know, he intertwines us so that then, you know, doors of opportunity open through different ones that we meet. And this is also true for a biblical character who is interesting to say the least. And the biblical character we're looking at is the character of Jacob. Jacob is a patriarch of the faith, but he's not what we would necessarily call a role model, right? The name Jacob in itself means heel grabber, or the one who causes to trip up. And to be honest, you know, Jacob lived up to his name with the way that he conducted things. But then, interestingly though, when we're looking at his life, we still see different opportunities and different people who were involved in his life. And that's what I want to delve into today, and in particular in this one instance, this peculiar scenario that happens, which for me was a bit, what is going on here, okay? And this story comes in from Genesis 27:1-29. Genesis 27:1-29. If you could open up that scripture for us so that then everybody able to see it, that would be awesome. Okay. So, We're reading the scripture. It says, when Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, my son. And the son said, here I am, he answered. And then it says, Isaac said, I am now an old man, but don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, your quiver, your bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food that I like to and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die. Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, look, I heard your father say to your brother Esau, bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die. Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat so that he may give you his blessing before he dies. Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, but my brother Esau is a hairy man while I am smooth-skinned. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and will bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing. His mother said to him, my son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get that for me. So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which he had in the house, and put them on her younger son, Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skins. Then she handed to her son, Jacob, the tasty food and bread she made. He went to his father and said, my father. Yes, my son, he answered. Who is it? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. Whoa, I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. And Isaac said to his son, how did you find it so quickly, my son? The Lord your God gave me success, he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, come near so I can touch you, my son. No, so that I know whether you are my son or Esau or not. So Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau, so he proceeded to bless him. Are you really my son Esau? He asked. And he said, I am, really, he replied. Then he said, my son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing. Jacob brought to him and he ate, and he brought some wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come here, my son, and kiss me. All right? So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he said, as the smell of my son is like the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed, may God give you heaven's due of earth's richness, and abundance of grain and new wine. And the last verse, may nations serve you and bow to you, be Lord over your brother, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and may those who bless you be blessed. This scripture is just so baffling, because in essence, you've got Jacob and his mother. You've got Jacob and his mother, on one side, and then you've got Isaac and Esau on one side, and then there's this prized opportunity of this blessing that God wants to give. And this blessing, if you read that last time, may those who curse you be cursed and those who bless you be blessed. This is the same blessing that Abraham was given by God. So this is serious business. We know that they are calling on God, but then it looks as though they cheated into getting God's blessing. You know, so I'm thinking to myself, did Rebekah really get the best of God, right? And in this instance, you know, we start to see that, you know what, this opportunity, okay, you've got a father who wants to bless his favorite son. You've got a mother who wants to bless her son, her favorite son of the two. But then really it's like, God, is this really you being bested by giving an opportunity over to someone who it was not due, right? And really, to me, I mean, this could be a Netflix program. I mean, when I'm looking at this, you know, you can just see the drama of it all. And, you know, there's so much tension in this. You know, like, is it going to fall apart somewhere? But then for us to get the answer as to why God permitted for this to happen, we need to actually take it back. So the first point of today's preaching is to say, gain favor from the Lord. Okay? Gain favor from the Lord. When we read from Genesis 25, 21 to 23... So this is before Isaac and Esau are born. So it says in 21, Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebecca became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." Right? So what we are seeing here is that God's intention before these kids were even born was for Jacob to receive this blessing. The lineage that God wanted to follow was actually through Jacob, and it was never through Esau. Now, on the back of the conniving that Rebecca did, there are consequences, and we'll go on to that. But then what we start to see is that when you have the favor of the Lord, even when people are trying to meddle and change things, things actually still fall in line because they're in line with the will of God, right? So in this instance, you had Isaac, and Isaac was about to make a serious error here. He was about to bless the son who was not the promised son. He was not the son that the lineage of God wanted to work through. So he was actually, and then God actually intervenes by allowing it, so that then Jacob may actually be blessed, and he received that blessing, okay? So this is when I said to myself, you know what, God, for things to work in our favor, we need to have the favor of the Lord. For us to be able to fulfill the will of God, for things to work for us, we need to have the favor of the Lord on us. So how do we come to have this favor of the Lord? And quite frankly, all we need to do is to love God. When we love God and we walk with the Lord and we allow for his desires to fall in line with our will, or at least our will to fall in line with God's desires and God's will, all of a sudden we'll start to see that the favor of the Lord will start to align itself. Because really, the place where we want to be, if we're reading from a good psalm, like Psalms 37, verse 20 says, "Once I was young and now I am your old, yet I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread." What this basically is saying is that, you know, when we are in God's will, when we are walking in accordance with what he wants, we will start to see the favor of the Lord on our lives, right? So when opportunities come our way, we will see that, my goodness, things are happening for us, even though it may look dark, even though it may look like it may go the other way, all of a sudden we see that the favor of the Lord, because of the favor of the Lord, things come into alignment with the plan that God has for us. And this is very interesting because in that instance, you know, Rebecca makes no mention of, you know, the promise that she was told all the way back then about her son, right? And the really interesting thing, I don't know why whenever I think of Jacob, I always think it's a young person, but what we know here is Jacob was at least 40 years old at this point. Reason being, when Esau, it says that, you know, Esau was 40 years old when he married his Hittite wife. So, and this instance happened after that point. So we know this is at least 40 years since that promise was given, but we see just how the favor of the Lord the blessing just comes, right? Not that this is what God intended, but then this is what God allowed, okay? So then, this is really interesting because I did mention that there are consequences to these actions. There are consequences to these actions. At times we feel when God has told us something, we try to assist and help. Rebecca's scheming was not a necessity. As a matter of fact, I believe that God would have made sure that this blessing fell on Jacob, and even without Rebecca's scheming, right? Whenever we see man try to intervene with God because of his promise, there's always a consequence. So the plan still prevails, but there is still a consequence in the hand. In Jacob's terms, okay, we'll read on a bit further on. We know that his brother had actually wanted to kill him because of this, because he had stolen the birthright earlier on the back of a bowl of soup. And now, also on top of that, this blessing has now been robbed of him, so he believes, right? And then if we look back in Scripture, I mean, if you look at Aaron, when Moses went to the top of the mountain to be with the Lord, all of a sudden he thought, these people need a God. He tried to intervene and he created an idol. There's a consequence that came out of that. Those who partook of that sin were also plagued by the Lord, right? When we then look at Abraham and when he was given the promise of his son, he tried to intervene, and lo and behold, Ishmael came out, and there's a whole nation which is against the agenda of the Lord, right? And then even if we take it all the way back to Adam and Eve, God had instructed them. And then now on the back of them falling out of line of the plan of God, there is now this whole redemption plan that had to kick off, right? So we see that when we intervene in the affairs of God, things always come out with consequences on the other side. So then that then makes me think to say, okay, so Jacob was afforded this opportunity by his mother, right? Esau was afforded this opportunity by Isaac. So what we then need to know is, point number two, be sure that the opportunity is God's will for you. Be sure that this opportunity is God's will for you. So, in essence, what then happens is, when we have relationships, when we steward relationships in our lives, people, because of the favor that you generate with them, people open up opportunities for you. They want to give you opportunities because you know what? You've got favor for them. So in this case, Rebecca had favor over her son, because if we read in Genesis 25, 27 to 28, it says, the boys grew up. So this is before this particular instance in Genesis 25. The boys grew up and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents where his mother is, right? Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So already we can tell that, like, okay, they're twins. And I thought parents weren't supposed to have favorites, but anyway. So in this particular instance, we can see that there's clearly some favoritism happening. And on the back of that, on the back of this relationship, people are now, you know, they're trying to open up opportunities for the son that they're having a favoritism over. So this is where then we need to be able to look at our relationships and the opportunities that they are presenting. Are they really in line with the will of God? And there's this particular message from T.D. Jakes, which I liked. And he breaks down relationships into three different categories, right? He says, first of all, there are those that we call confidants. Confidants are those people who are for you, okay? They love you unconditionally. They're just into you, right? They're the type of people whereby you are yourself, you are free, because you know whatever happens, these people are clearly free, right? And then on the flip side, there are those that he calls constituents, right? These constituents are people who are for what you are for, okay? Now, these are different. So confidants, they are for you. Constituents are for what you are for, right? So the difference is a constituent will give you opportunities because they are in line with the agenda that they are trying to fulfill, right? So and this is where we have to be careful, because at times, because constituents are working with you because, you know, we're doing the right thing, we're doing something together, right? All of a sudden, you may feel like, person is really in it for me, but no, really what they're in for is for what you are for, right? And then the other one is then comrades. Now, comrades, these people, they're not for you, and they're not for what you are for, they're just against what you are against, right? So the idea is they will work with you to defeat a common enemy or to defeat something that they're trying to overcome, and then once that conquering is done, it's just like peace, you know, that's it. That's where the separation comes in, right? So this is where we have to be careful, because people have these agendas or these motives behind having you. The type of opportunities that they then present to you have then to be filtered and screened by us, by the discernment of the Lord, to say, God, okay, this person is offering me an opportunity. Is this really what you have for me? Now, don't get me wrong. These constituents and these comrades, they are coming. And as a matter of fact, they may actually well be the will of God for you for a particular season to fulfill something that God has, right? So we need to be able to bless them as they come, and also bless them as they walk out as well, because God is trying to work. So if I give you a practical example, we have when I finished university, and I think a lot of us have gone through this scenario whereby, you know, you're going to university, you know, there's a whole planned kind of course that you're doing, and you come to its end, and then all of a sudden comes this point whereby you now need to get employment, right? And, you know, you apply to loads and loads of difficulties. I mean, and you know how difficult it is. And every time somebody says, oh, do you know what? We've got a job for you. All of a sudden, I was like, the Lord is speaking, you know. God is talking, because, you know, He's given me this opportunity to go to work and finally make an earning out of this degree that I've been studying for X amount of years, right? But what we have to understand is that the reason why that person is offering you that job, the reason why he's affording you that opportunity is because there is also gain in them employing you, right? And this is the thing, I don't know why a lot of the times when we look at employment, we look at it as, oh, you know, we owe our employer. No. The employer needs you as much as you need the employer to pay you for the work. It's a trade. It's an exchange, isn't it? So in essence, they are for what you are for, which is you working that so that then they can also make money out of what you're doing. But then also there is also what you want from them, which is also income, because, you know, I've got this degree. So at that point, opportunities start to flow of these constituents and these comrades, because there's something they're trying to achieve. But then what we then have to be careful of is to say, God, what is your will for me? This is where we need to be clear about, you know, God, can you tell me exactly what is it that you want? So anyway, what happened with me was, I knew from the year before that God wanted me to be in Sheffield. I knew that categorically, that, you know what, God, this is your will for me. But then the first job offer I got was in Portsmouth, right? And I'm thinking, oh, dear God. And you know, I remember going to Pastor, I was like, Pastor, I found a job. It's in Portsmouth, so I don't know how exactly, you know. and you know, we were wrestling almost, because I was like, you know what, I know I'm supposed to be in Sheffield, but at the same time, I need to have a job so I can sustain life, you know. So obviously I had to forego this opportunity, even though it felt like it was right. And then the next thing, I think the next one was in somewhere like Aberdeen, you know, and it's like, it was like polar opposites, right? And again, I'm like, you know, this job is now in Aberdeen. I feel like I need to go there. Then I had a job offer from Coventry. It was just never in Sheffield, right? And then finally, I finally found a job offer, which was, this was one that I had rejected as well. But then they came back to me and they were like, you know what, there's this job over in Chorley, right? And I remember praying and God was telling me, you know what, Phil, this one is the one, right? This one is the one. I was like, okay, I'm going to take this job. This one is the one, right? If I had listened to God all the way through, I would have actually realized that this particular job, which was said to be in Chorley, was actually had a base over in Chesterfield, which God actually probably was saying, you know what, if you accept that job, you can work from Chesterfield, even though the job is saying that it's Chorley. And this is where we have to be careful then to make sure that we are correctly understanding which opportunity is the will of God for us. Okay, so once we then decipher, you know, which one is for us. So for example, even in this particular instance with Jacob, you know, he was hearing this, and I bet in the back of his mind, he's probably been told by his mother, you know what, this blessing is yours. But then the way the opportunity was presented, it wasn't right, it was wrong, and this is where discernment then came into place, because out of that then came consequences. And one of the points that I just want to hit on here is that understand that relationships are so important, and the reason why people are so important is because it is also possible that we are missing opportunities because we're not correctly stewarding relationships with people, or we're not understanding the purpose that God has for us for a particular relationship, right? So let's say, for example, I don't know, the opportunity is like, you know what, I want to travel the world, you know, like, dear God, you know, I feel that, you know, I'm just called to go and just travel the world, just to see something out there. I don't know what it is that you're trying to go and see, right? And you're praying, and then what God will do is that he will send over a person. So all of a sudden, the neighbor that you've never spoken to before knocks on your door, or all of a sudden wants to make conversation with you, and because of lack of discernment or understanding the will of God, we just go, my friend, please, not right now. I'm praying for something that I'm trying to get to. And this is where, again, it's important for us to be able to understand the will of God, even within our own relationships. That God, these relationships that you're giving over to us, what is your will for us within them? Is my opportunity encased within this person? Okay? So the idea is that God will lead these constituents, God will lead these comrades, people who will be looking to fulfill a will with you. But then we need to then have a mind to always go back to God with this opportunity and say, God, look at this relationship has brought to me this opportunity. Is this the will of God for, is this your will for me, right? So now we go back. So Jacob has stolen this blessing. Jacob has taken this blessing in a very conniving way, and on the back of that, there are consequences. And the consequences were, the brother then comes out and he says in Genesis 27, 41 and 44, Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. And he said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. When Rebekah was told, there's mom again. When Rebekah was told what her older son Esau had said, she sent for her younger son Jacob and said to him, your brother Esau is planning to avenge himself by killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides. In Genesis 28, verse 5, then Isaac sent Jacob on his way, and he went to Padam Aram to Laban, the son of Bethuel and Aramea, the brother of Rebekah, who was the mother of Jacob and Esau. So this next bit, I want to say, you know what, accept help. Okay. Jacob is messed up. They have connived against Isaac, right? And on the back of that, the brother is now on a blood trail for his brother, right? When we have correctly identified these opportunities, what we also need to be able to do is to accept help. And that's point number three. Accept help. Okay? There's something about whenever you read about people who have been successful, they cling on to the line that they were self-made, you know, that, I got to this place, you know, I had nothing, you know. It was really funny because I was listening to Trump, and one point he was like, you know, me, I had nothing. My father just borrowed me $1 million. I was like, you know, but he started from nothing anyways. But yeah, there's this thing about us which always wants to be able to say, you know what, we started from nothing and we made it somewhere. So in essence, in this egotistical way of thinking that, you know what, I want to pride myself over just being able to do something myself, we may actually end up missing an opportunity because we don't want to accept it because it comes as a form of help. So Rebecca, in this point, Rebecca and Isaac have come together. Now they are speaking to his son, like, my son, you need to run because you messed up, right? Take this opportunity, run to Laban, go find refuge there. And likewise with ourselves, you know, at every point in life, there will be points whereby we need to be able to accept help. God has made it so that then we are always interdependent with one another. If you look at infancy, for example, you know, there's no way a baby can raise themselves, right? There is no way a child who's a schooling age can school themselves. As a matter of fact, you know, even now, you know, even for us to be able to get food, we need the assistance of the store to provide this opportunity for us to be able to buy food, right? There is always an interdependency on people and one another. So for us, we need to be able to accept help. And it's even true when it comes to us having the opportunity to grow in the faith, right? The reason why I love this whole concept of, let's say, discipleship or, you know, even coming to church, it's actually humbling ourselves to be able to say, you know what, God, I want to be able to be helped to get to a level where I'm not currently at. So when God provides us these opportunities which are in line with his will, accept it. It's not wrong to accept that God wants to help you. In the same way, if there's a business venture that you're trying to get into, accept help. There are those who have gone before you. We need to be able to take those opportunities to be able to move forward in life. I'm seeing that my time is moving. So accepting help does humble us, but then it is still in line with God giving us opportunities. There is no point God affording us opportunities in different ways if we are not willing then to be able to follow through with what it is that he has given over to us. And then point number four is that prepare to be a door of opportunity. Prepare to be a door of opportunity, okay? So we have this instance whereby, okay, so after Jacob has had this blessing, he has been told, go to your uncle Laban's. He seeks refuge at his uncle Laban's. And you know, he spends numerous amount of years there, right? And then the Bible then reads in Genesis chapter 30, verse 25 to 27, after Rachel gave birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, send me on my way so I can go back to my homeland. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and I'll be on my way. And know how much I've worked. You know how much work I've done for you. But Laban said to him, I have found favor in your eyes. Please stay. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Prepare to be a door of opportunity. When God says, you know, we are, you know, he's opening doors of opportunity, you know, what we also need to be hearing is that God is also preparing us to be doors of opportunity, to be able to assist someone else along the way. I know opportunity does sometimes make us feel very selfish in saying, you know what, I need these opportunities to come away. But then God also wants to use you to provide opportunities for others who God has blessed you with. So in this very text, you know, it's reading that Laban has actually learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of Jacob, because of the presence of Jacob there. He has actually come into amassing wealth as well. But then the interesting thing about this is God is just so faithful in that even when Jacob was finding refuge and it looked as if it's only Laban who was benefiting out of Jacob, this whole time, I don't think it's becoming apparent to Jacob, is that the whole time he's actually managed to find he's managed to find his wives. He's managed to find his family. His children are coming out of this. He is also, you later on, you find that all the livestock that he gets is all on the back of this opportunity that God afforded him to be with Laban within that time. And then all of a sudden, he's amassed so much, even though it looks as though he's affording this opportunity to Laban. So this is where I start to see how God is just so faithful that even in you affording an opportunity for someone else, God is even more faithful to still be blessing you even in that. You know, and it's almost like a common theme in Scripture whereby there's this reciprocation that happens that, you know, give and it shall be given unto you. You know, forgive and you shall be forgiven. You know, this whole idea that God, we should look forward to blessing others or giving opportunities to others, because we know that when we start getting into that flow, we know that God is about to open up something. No, I'm not saying be selfish and say, I'm only blessing you because I know that God is going to bless me back. No. What I'm saying is that God is still faithful that even when you are giving out, even when you are giving opportunity, God is still faithful in that he's still pouring back into us. So there is no reason for us to be able to stock things on the back of, oh, how am I supposed to get gain out of this? As a matter of fact, we often see it that, you know, where you think you are helping someone, it's actually, as a matter of fact, the whole time God was actually helping you. And it's true even in this case with Laban, is that even though it looks as though he's assisting Laban, he's the one who is gaining, because this promise of the descendants is actually all coming out of the children of Laban. They're the ones who actually then created, well, basically how Israel flew, how Israel came to be, or at least the Israelites came to be out of the children that were descendants of Laban. Okay, so in conclusion, I just want to say this: open doors of opportunities are coming. I believe that it is true that God is looking to bless us as a people, and he delights in providing opportunities in each and every single one of us. But in this season, I just feel that, you know, God is asking for us to sharpen our ear and to sharpen our eyes to be able to see through the ploys of the enemy, which come as opportunities which are not in line with God. Sometimes, you know, we really need to watch out, because sometimes circumstance and issues or the way things appear often make us draw unto something which was not of God to begin with. Jacob was promised this blessing. This blessing was his. It was his. God ordained him from before he was even born. You know, the Bible would even say that, you know, Jacob I have loved and Esau I have hated. God had already predestined for Jacob to receive this blessing, that this opportunity was always going to be his. But sometimes in our own haste, we then try to create and fabricate things and you know, walk in opportunities that were never for us to begin with. So I believe that God in this season is asking us to lean on him. To lean on him to reveal exactly which opportunities are coming from him. We know that we all want to move from the level where we're currently at to go to the next level. And we know that God is providing opportunities. But if it's not in line with God, we will seek to, well, we will soon reap the consequences of a wrong action. Not everything that shines is gold, as they say. But it's important because out of these opportunities, God is looking to use people. There's a scripture, well, not a scripture, there's a comment I recently read, and it says, Jesus is the center, but people are central, right? And see what he's saying? It's true in ministry that, you know, Jesus is always the center, but then there's always going to be people around, and understanding the purpose of our relationships will see us walk in the correct opportunities that God has for us. And be, rest assured, God wants us to have these type of relationships whereby we gain favor from people. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, says, Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and all people. God, it's not a wrong thing to have favor of people. It's not a wrong thing for somebody to want to bless you, but it's understanding that, God, what is your will for me? So I'm just going to close by praying. Father God, we thank you for the people that you are sending our way. God, we thank you for the opportunities that you are affording us through people, God. And Father, we pray even as we are walking with you, may we gain favor from you, because ultimately, God, Father, we want favor from you, because we know when we have favor from you, things will fall into alignment. In places where we want opportunity, God, you will intervene, God, and Father, you will make sure that we come out victorious in the end. We won't be able to explain it, but God, we thank you because you will do it. And Father, we're praying that would you give us discerning eyes, discerning ears, God, Father, to understand which opportunities that we are given are really for you. Father, our desire to go all these different places, is it really in line with you, God? Father, would you just speak to us, God? We want to be able to hear from you. Father, we know that you are opening these doors for us, Father, because we have followed your commands. And Father, you know what we have done. And God, we pray that you start to open up these opportunities for us. God, Father, where we may be stuck, God, Father, where it may look like all doors are shut, God, may you just start to send those people with those opportunities, God. Father, we pray for open doors of opportunities. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So thank you all for listening to me, and thank you all for people who have joined us online, and we hope to have you all join us again. Amen. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.